broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our program tonight. Welcome to Phil TV in HD if you're watching us online. And welcome to our podcast if you are listening to this. And it is now, what is this, Wednesday? Today is...
It's Tuesday, tomorrow Wednesday.
Tomorrow will be Wednesday, so welcome to wherever you are and however you are getting this information and this entertainment delivered to you. And that's what it's all about today, delivery systems and when and how. Anyway, welcome to our program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As I mentioned, we're online at philhendryshow.com. We're also at Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhendry. We're on Facebook at Phil Hendry. That's facebook.com/philhendry. And, Bud, you're over on Twitter, and Robert isn't, but... So we cover the waterfront, baby. And let's see. At the end of this week, I'll be out on Friday, just giving you the heads up. I think. I don't know, because...
You're supposed to shoot that movie.
We were supposed to do a scene in a movie on Friday, which I will tell you more about when, like it's close to the time that the movie's coming out. All right, 877-876-PHIL, our number. Coming up tonight on the program... You know what happened back east? There was an earthquake. It was a significant earthquake. I've lived through a lot of earthquakes, and I can tell you that a 5.8, a 5.9, you can feel that. And, in fact, the very first earthquake I remember was the Sylmar quake in 71. I think that was like a 5.9 or a 6.0. And it'll cause damage, and it'll rock your world a little bit and put some serious fear into it. It was the second most powerful earthquake in Virginia's recorded history. It happened today. Vernon Dozier is going to join us, a high school teacher as well as one of the board members at Belmar Academy, to discuss that. And Don Parsley stops by to talk about donating to victims of the quake. Plus, Margaret Gray will be in to discuss the case of a mom who used hot sauce to punish her son in order to get on Dr. Phil. We covered this story when it first came out. This mother and these kids, and it's up in Alaska, and they seem to be... It's a very strange living arrangement. They're like in a what was it, Bud?
They're like living in a shack or something. And the lady, she was,
get closer to the microphone, will you?
They're living in a shack, and the lady had them sleeping inside of a dresser drawer.
What? What do you mean in a dresser drawer?
Well, it's sitting there in shelves.
No, she meant that one on the kitchen. What do you mean shelves? Where were they sleeping?
They were on shelves.
Good God. Well, in any event, so that's just bizarre. We'll talk about that. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, KWAM in Memphis and WMRK Montgomery, Alabama. Brand new affiliate. Very, very happy and proud to have you guys with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, philhendryshow.com is our, our website. Now, before we talk about earthquakes, we are going to get Margaret Gray on the line to discuss this Dr. Phil case. This woman... And these kids, I was saying during our, if you have Phil TV and HD, you know that we do about a 45-minute pre-show. It's uncensored, and we just sort of hang here and scream and yell and complain about the world. But I was talking about this commercial that they roll all the time. Margaret, you've probably seen it. I guess it's for the ASPCA, and it's just the toughest thing to look at.
You're talking about the abused animals.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It is... It is heartbreaking. You're right, Phil. It's very hard to look at. It is the kind of thing that you really know they're manipulating you, and yet even though they are abused animals, you resent it.
Well, I said, I'm not going to donate any money because it's so hard to look at. I avert my eyes, or I avert my eyes from the screen, and so I never get a phone number. I never know the name of the agency. You mentioned ASPCA, I guess.
No, I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, but I don't get a phone number because it's so tough to look at. I'm not denigrating the work that they do, but I think it's just overkill. Now, when it comes to children, and these are two adopted Russian boys, and they are with this family in Alaska, this woman squirts hot sauce into the mouth of this adopted Russian child. God knows what kind of a life this kid's had. You know, I mean...
Phil, first of all, he's from Russia. That's not exactly saying that he comes from Siberia or that the boy is from some uninhabited place in South America. He comes from a civilized society.
No, I understand that, but that is a society over there that has gone through all kinds of changes, a terrible tumult, an economy that has just vacillated like crazy because of all of the, because of the way the country was born. The country was born into, by way of a relative violent beginning. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't bloodshed on the scale that we see, but there were tanks sitting in the in Moscow. The mayor of Moscow, Boris Yeltsin, is standing there dancing on the tank. I mean, it was a crazy. Obviously a crazy world, and this is how we've come to know so many of these young people, especially the little ones from the Eastern Europe, who all of a sudden are very hard for these women to handle. And
what do you mean by these women? Because, again, you have to be very... You have to be extremely, extremely careful in the way you describe the people that are doing the adopting and the people that are doing... and the people that are being adopted. These are children, yes, you're right, that have come from terrible tumult. I think that's a very good word that you described. And by the way, Phil, if you hear, there's a lot of talking behind me. I'm over here at Borkman's in Santa Monica, and we have, in fact, gotten together with some of the women in the women's club there to talk about what we're going to do at our school in the forthcoming year. So
so you're having a meeting with other mothers?
Well, we are. We're not talking about adopting children or anything, but we are talking about children and what is best for them in a rapidly changing society. Now, getting back to these Russian children, the idea of using this kind of a punishment, the hot sauce, is not unique to America. It is not unique to Alaska. There are mothers all over this country that use some form of what I call an aversion. I don't think that it is abusive.
You don't think it's abusive for a little boy who may not speak English adequately, who's still very new to this country, you know?
Well, we don't know whether he speaks English adequately or not. We're not talking here about a child that was beaten. We're talking about a child that had a very common punishment that was administered because of some acting up in class. I can tell you that there are, I use this punishment myself for very specific things, but I use it with our son, Jason Jay. There are mothers that wash out their sons' or their daughters' mouths with soap.
Well, that's another punishment that I think went the way of the strap and the switch and this kind of thing, washing a kid's mouth out with soap. You mean literally putting soap in their mouth?
I mean putting a dab of soap on the tongue as a way of reinforcing a message that this, what their activity and their actions were negative. Now,
all right, now, hold on for a minute, because you said you use, excuse me, you use this punishment?
Which one?
The hot sauce.
Oh, my goodness, yes, Bill. You use it for very specific things. Very, very specific things. You don't use the hot sauce as a general rule. You use it for very specific things. I think Jason Jay, our son, is now 13, so he is reaching an age where we have to get a little bit more creative, I think, with the way that we punish as well as the way that we are rewarding him.
And well, what specific things, when you say that you've used the hot sauce punishment with your own son, give me an idea of...
Well, I can give you a couple of ideas. First of all, he is getting at that age at 13. Like every boy that age, he gets curious, and they get very sexually curious. Their hormones are working. And you may catch him as a woman, as a mother. I might catch him, and boys do this, Phil. Every boy, at some point, is going to look at either his mother or his sister in a way that is, you know, is something you want to discourage. I've caught him looking at me. I have caught him looking through the door.
You have caught... Now, hold on for a minute, just for a second here. Are you talking about your son looking at you in a sexual way?
What I'm talking about is something that is very, very common. I'm talking about...
Well, can I interrupt here?
Let me finish, please, because you've got me... You know, I want to be clear. This is very common for a boy of 13 or 12 to look at his mother or his sister and become sexually curious.
Let me just ask you, did you see your son was looking through the door?
Well, he came to talk to me about something, and he came around the corner, and I'm there in a bra and panties. And he looked at me with the unmistakable look on his face of pleasant surprise, shall we say. So what I did and what I have done...
Your son... Okay, I'm just...
May I finish, please?
Go ahead, Margaret. I'm sorry, but it just seemed very... It seems like something that's perhaps a little more serious.
No, it's not serious. It's not more serious, Phil, than taking the hot sauce and telling him, now, what I caught you doing, I don't ever, ever want to see you doing again. And you tell them to open their mouths, and you literally shake the bottle of hot sauce onto the tongue. And then you tell them, now swallow it. And, of course, they give you the, oh, Mom, please, Mom. And I said, I don't ever want you looking at me the way you were looking at me. And, of course, they deny it.
And well, can I ask you a question? Because
Well, Phil, you're asking a lot of questions, and you're trying to put me in the light of being some kind of a weirdo, and I'm not...
No, I just want to know. You're saying that your son has looked at you in a sexual way, and you use this punishment, I guess, more than once?
He's a boy. He's 13 years old. He's going to look at any woman with a sexual curiosity, and when his own mother lived in the same house with him, and... I have a long-standing rule. It's my home. And if I want to walk through the house to get something in my brassiere, I will. Or if I want to walk through the house in my panties and brassiere, I will. It's my home, and he's my son. And he should not be looking...
All right, see, that to me right there, if he's 13, isn't he getting to an age where his mother should put on more clothing?
Phil, this is not about me, and I think you're really twisting this. This is about punishment and what is right. And
all right, so you've punished your son for looking at you, as you say, sexually.
Yes, and I don't want this to turn into something where you and I are adversarial. I'm a mother. I know about these things.
All right, hold a line here, Margaret. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray talking with us about the use of hot sauce. This woman in Alaska uses hot sauce on one of her adopted Russian sons. Apparently used it because the boy was not paying attention in school or something. Margaret is on the line saying that she uses it with her son when he is, quote-unquote, inappropriate, I guess, sexually curious, staring at her with a sexual curiosity. My question, of course, is, you know, what point do you stop walking through the house in your bra and panties? Your son's 13. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And coming up later, we got Don Parsley to talk with us about what he's doing for the earthquake damage, earthquake victims. Vernon Dozier is going to join us, and a few other people here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
Right.
That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Tuesday night as we talk with Margaret Gray from Santa Monica. She's the author of Once a Week, A Little Bird Told Me, the nationally syndicated newspaper column. The story in Alaska, a woman who squirted hot sauce in the mouth of her adopted Russian son for lying about getting in trouble at school. She was convicted of misdemeanor child abuse, what prosecutors said was a ploy to get on the Dr. Phil show. The woman, Jessica Beagley, age 36, made a videotape of how she punished this child, and she was convicted of child abuse.
Well, Phil, first of all, that is Alaska. That's not California. Secondly, she did it to get on a TV show. That's what the prosecutor was most concerned with, not the fact that she was punishing her son, but that it was gratuitous because she wanted to get on a television program. Now, I find it interesting that these boys are Russian. Did you not say that they're Russian?
Yes, they are.
All right. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but at the end of World War II, the Russian troops that invaded Germany are very well known to have sexually assaulted the women in that country.
And so what are you telling me? Two little boys? Two little...
Hold on, Phil, please. In the name of God, hold on. I'm not saying those boys will do anything. I'm saying, if you'll listen to me, I am saying now is the time to get a handle on it. Because, Phil, in the case of my own son, Jason J. Delmonico, I have used that hot sauce, it's what we call the flamethrower, and my God, God forgive me, but had I not, I don't know what would have happened to me. I'm not saying that he would have raped, but I think it would have been just as shocking to turn around and have your son ogling your backside with his fly open.
Good God almighty! What are you talking about? You're talking about a boy? I've never heard of this kind of behavior, and if he's acting like that, you need to get him to a psychiatrist.
No, he needs to be disciplined. Phil, don't turn something that is normal and healthy into...
What is healthy about a kid staring at his mother that way and with his zipper open? What the hell is healthy about that? That sounds like...
That is, when a boy is coming into his hormonal stage, Phil, it's normal. Especially when your mother is, because it's the rules of her house, walking about the house in... To be comfortable. And
well, that's the other thing that I don't think is right. You walking around in your bra and panties. All right?
So in other words, I can't... Oh, my God. I don't own my own home?
Yes, of course you own your own home, but you're in that home with a husband and a son, is all I'm saying. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Am I going... Hey, Jace, do I go to the left or right bank? I have to ask my producers something technical here. Am I going to left or right bank tonight on the phones, huh? On the left side? Okay. Here is Novia, I believe is the name, in Boise, Idaho. Novia, hello. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Is this Novia? Hello? Is the caller there? I'm sorry, guys. I apologize. I went to the wrong side. Okay. Novia, forgive me. I didn't have you on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I was calling because I understand that he's a 13-year-old boy and whatever, but to be walking around your house and you don't want him to look at you, why would you walk around and even just, you know, put him in that position to do that? And then you
right about that. I beg your pardon?
He had his fly open?
Well, no, I'm saying I don't want that to happen. I don't know if you have a son. But you certainly don't want to be standing there. I'm not walking about the house in my bra and panties all the time. If I need to get something out of the car.
And that's fine, but what makes you think that... No, I don't know any kid in their right mind that...
I'm not wearing my underwear.
Wait a minute. You walk around without your underwear?
If I've got to get something, Phil, I walked around without clothes on when he was a baby.
He's 13 now.
Yeah, but he's 13.
You know...
Well, you know, I would love to hear from other...
Yeah, but
I'm sorry?
To see their mother like that. Nobody wants to see their mom like that.
Well, I think that's a very good point. And so why would it be, then, that these boys are staring their mothers up and down like we're nothing more than meat?
Who is?
What happened to... The boys of America, the 13-year-old boys of America, are looking
Maybe
at their mothers these
Pearson's
days.
Maybe mom, but not their own mother.
No, they're all... Do you have sons?
No, I don't.
Well...
I'm the oldest of five kids, and I have five nieces and nephews. And there's no way that would... No, that would never happen.
Well, you have five nieces and nephews. Now, do you have brothers and sisters?
Their mother like that, though.
Do you have brothers and sisters is what I'm asking you. Do you have any brothers?
Yes. I am the oldest of five.
All right. All right, and your mother and these boys that are, if they're coming of age, they're going to be looking you up and down like you're a piece of meat on a hook.
No, they're not. You're talking about...
Never looked at me like that. Maybe my friends, but not me.
All right. Your friends? No, I'm talking about you. And what
no,
we need to do...
My brother never looked at me like that.
How do you know that he hasn't looked through the crack of the door...
My brother's here.
Unless, Unless it is.
My brother's
unless
here.
It is,
he's 29 years old. You want to ask him?
First of all, I don't know, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Yes, let me speak with him, please.
All right, you know what? You're going to ask him a very embarrassing question. Oh, you know, we got to go. We got to go. I don't have time, Novia.
Oh.
All right, but well, hold the line. Hold on. We'll try to get to you after our break. 877-876-PHIL.
I want to talk to the brother to see if he ever looked her up and down.
Yes, if we have time, we'll get back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, my God.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Sometime this week, if you go to our website, you're going to see that we have the Phil Hendry Show ball caps in. This is another piece of merchandise from our shop, if you'd like, with our T-shirts, with our coffee mugs, with our shot glasses, with our legacy CDs. We now have the ball cap, the Phil Hendry insignia. You can outfit a baseball team. You can outfit a football team. You can outfit... I don't know who else. Who wears a baseball cap?
Jockeys.
Jockeys? In any event, it's over there at philhendryshow.com. Margaret Gray on the line with us as we talk about the punishing of a child, this little boy in Alaska, with hot sauce. But what's more is you're talking about punishing your own son with hot sauce for looking at you sexually.
I want to jump in with one thing, though, before we get back to that, because I think you misunderstood that. Did I hear you correctly? Did you say that you are using charcoal briquettes with your barbecuing?
Yes.
My God, I said that to the girls who... Yeah, he did. I mean, I got a lot of looks, like, who are you talking to? I said, I'm with Phil Hendry. And I said, he just said he's using charcoal briquettes. And I got a lot of looks, Phil. What I'm saying is this...
Well, can we talk about the pollution thing at another time?
Well, I just want to make this one point. You're murdering the planet. You know that, right? Do you know that you're murdering the planet?
No, I don't know that I'm murdering.
Well, you need to know that that's what you're doing. You're committing wholesale murder, spree killing on the planet with your charcoal briquettes. I hope you enjoyed your tri-tip because you've murdered a part of the planet tonight. To your point about...
Okay, very, very good. And in the meantime, we have on the line, we're waiting for... I'm going to get up here this young lady who is waiting and her brother, I believe... This is Novia. And Novia, you have your brother on the line there?
Yes, I do.
Okay, can I go ahead? And what is your name, sir?
My name is Blaine.
Margaret?
Yes, Blaine. This is Margaret Gray. Have you ever looked at your sister in a sexual way?
This isn't Nebraska. No, I actually have three sisters. I may have checked out their friends, but in no way would I ever look at my sister.
I thought that was interesting. You said this isn't Nebraska. In other words, does Nebraska have a reputation there in Idaho for its sort of backwardness?
I would say that's sarcasm, yeah.
But when you say Nebraska, do you know of young men in that state that have...
No, he's being sarcastic.
He's being sarcastic.
So you don't know of anyone in Nebraska that's tried to cop a feel on their mother or anything along those lines?
No, on their mom.
That's ridiculous. Why would they do that?
Well, no, I don't know. Why would they do it? It's because when a young man comes into... You see, you're 30, and you may have forgotten...
Wait. Hold on for a minute. I'm a man, too, and I'm going to agree here with Blaine. I never, when I was 13...
Phil, that was a long time ago.
Well, you know something? Some things you never forget. And when I was 13... I never looked at my sister or my mother that way.
I am telling both of you, because of your Christian upbringing, there are things you may not want to face. But my son has looked... I beg your pardon?
What does religion have to do with checking out your mom or your sister?
I think because of your religious background, you've blotted it out.
I'm totally atheist, and I still don't check out my sisters.
Well, you say you're an atheist. Now, that's very interesting. What then keeps you from looking at your sister? There's no religious prescription.
What prevents me from it, other than it's my sister? Do I need another answer?
Boy.
Phil, I don't like you encouraging. Listen, there are women out there that know what I'm talking about. I use the hot tub.
Excuse me. Wait, did your dad or your brother ever check you out?
I think it's normal.
Oh, my God. No, it's not.
No, that is not normal.
I didn't say they molested me. I think it's normal for them to try and get a look through the window.
That's normal.
In other words, you saw your father?
I don't know about my father, but I know my brother lingered around my bedroom window.
I think you're just paranoid. People aren't like that. I think you're paranoid.
So you've never...
No, people aren't like that unless you're sick in your head.
What you need to do is turn around really quickly one day when your nephew's there. Turn around real fast. And if
nephew,
you don't see an open fly...
Nephew, that's a totally different thing. And it's a child. Nephew's a totally different thing than your own kid.
I'm talking about a young man coming into his own hormonal stage of life. And if you wheel around really quickly, you may see more than you want to.
You know what, Margaret? You don't know.
Sorry, go ahead.
You don't. I'm just going to say you don't know, and you've used hot sauce on your son, not knowing. So you've punished this child for something he's probably not done. And
oh my God, what do you mean not done? He's given me that look. Novia, this is how you know. Have you ever seen a man wipe his mouth with the back of his hand?
That means that's weird.
Yeah, I do it. Yeah,
here you go.
On my hand.
All right. When you look at a woman and wipe your mouth with the back of your hand, you know what that means.
No, I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
I don't know what that means either. You're crazy.
Oh, maybe in a movie.
Yeah, sure. What's that?
People might do that in the movies. Nobody does that in real life. Licks their
no
lips.
No one wipes their...
Were you, like, molested or something? Do you have something like...
No,
really
I was not.
Or something?
No, I... Licking your lips and wiping your mouth with the back of your hand is a surefire
Maybe
sign.
Maybe they had cotton mouth.
That some, yeah, I'll bet they did. Because what they do is they like to get hopped up in that loco weed and then stare at their own mothers.
Wow.
All right.
You guys need a second.
Wait, excuse me. Wait, where do you live?
I live in Southern California, so that means that proves I'm not a hick.
It doesn't make any difference where you.
No, it doesn't make a difference where you live.
I live in Southern California, not Nebraska. And
so, in other words, you've got some idea that a guy licks his lips and wipes his mouth with the back of his hand.
He's looking to get a handful, and if it's your own son, get that Tabasco out and get the
Where is this? Where's this kid's father?
Yes, I have a husband, and the kid's father right now is asleep on a couch.
All right. Thank you very much, Novia, and thank Blaine for us. We appreciate your candor. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray on the line with us as we talk about putting hot sauce in a boy's mouth because he's staring at his mother or his sister sexually.
You know, Phil, you're talking about me like I'm a mental case. You're going, oh, well, Margaret Gray's on the line with us. So in other words, you're talking about me even though I'm here, like there's something wrong with me. Now, you heard this girl call up. She says she's got nephews, she's got younger brothers, she's got a brother standing there. Do you think the 30-year-old brother, when I ask him, have you ever looked at your sister sexually, he looks down at her, puts two and two together, what do you think he's going to say? No. He's already looking at her, he's rolling his eyes, doing the math, and the answer comes out no.
Oh, so this is all very calculated. He looks down at her, gee, if I say yes.
If he says yes, then guess what?
Does he get the Tabasco?
He's a 30-year-old man. I think that there's probably a lot more coming to him. I don't know what it is. It's not against the law, God knows. I mean, we don't live in a slave state yet, but still and all, I would at least sit him down and ask him, the first thing you want to know is, do they have pictures?
Because what do you mean, pictures?
Oh, my God.
Are you telling me that you're afraid your son or your father...
Phil, if they're lurking around a corner with an iPhone... What do you think, especially if I'm bending over to do my nails? And
all right, 877-876-PHIL.
I wanted to finish that.
I want to get on to another phone call here, 877-876-7445. Here is Natalie. Natalie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'd like to address Margaret. Hi, Margaret. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina.
How are you doing?
I'm I'm a full-grown woman. I grew up in Southern California, okay? I spent most of my adult life there. I have two boys that I raised. I come from a family of seven children, four girls, yes, three boys, in a two-bedroom house in Hawthorne.
Right.
So the key behind everything is to have some privacy. The boys had their room. We had, the girls had their room.
That's of course, right. Dad,
you close that door. My mother never walked around in her underwear, me raising
my
boys.
Well, now, wait a minute. I don't like closed doors in my home. I don't like closed doors in my home.
Well, and what about the bathroom?
You know what? Then it's your fault. You are...
Wait a minute. Wait. Even if I'm...
Your child is too old for you to leave a door open while you have underwear on. That is totally wrong. You need help. You need therapy.
Why is there supposed to be closed doors in a family? If I'm using the toilet and I can't reach the door, what am I supposed to do?
You got to be kidding.
You go in the toilet. You close the door. That's a private moment.
If I forgot. What if I forgot?
And if you are... Well, you don't forget. You're the sick one. You're the one trying to encourage your son to look at you. You've got the problem.
No, I beg your pardon. You know, I've not... You know something? I haven't insulted you. Why would you do that to me? I am not trying to get my son...
Sweetie, you need help. There's something wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with a woman that wants to leave doors open in her own home. Hello? These are not strangers.
It is also your son's home. It is also your son's home. You share that home with him. So he is of an age where you close those doors. You make sure he doesn't get
it. Of course I close the doors, but if I forget, if I sit down on the toilet, and we've all had the experience of running into the bathroom, my God, and I sit down on the toilet.
Closing the door? I've never done that. I have never done that.
When there's no one home? And then suddenly he comes through the door because Spook...
Even
when you're alone?
Pardon?
Oh, that's weird. That's weird. That's really weird. What are you afraid of? The ghost is going to see you? Or the dog?
No.
Margaret, I think it's a normal thing.
I'm not going to be perverted enough to try and entice my child, and that's exactly what you're doing.
No,
and then you punish him
for
it.
You're saying in an empty house. In an empty house, you close the door, so you're afraid that Mr. Ghost is going to come around the corner.
No, I'm not afraid. You know what? It's such an ingrained habit that you just close it.
Right. It's a normal thing to do.
Do you close the toilet, Phil? Do you close the door of the toilet?
No. But, you know, that's just me.
And what if one of your kids gets home?
My kids have moved out, okay? My kids are gone. But I understand in a home it's a normal thing for people to close the door. You live with people, so it's possible that Frank's going to come home. It's possible that your son is going to come home.
Yes, it is possible, but not in the middle of the day. And so I'm sitting there. If I've got, excuse me for putting it this way, but you forced me to. If I have diarrhea, and I've got to get in there, and I've got to do my business, okay? And suddenly people come waltzing through the house. Hi, Mom, how you doing? And I'm sitting there with the runs.
Well, you should have shut the door when you went in. You run in and slam the door behind you. You don't even have to turn around to shut a door. You just give the
door.
You just said in the daytime when nobody's home. So
exactly.
If nobody's home, you're expecting them home, you should have shut the door.
I wasn't expecting them home because it was the middle of the day. And
Things happen when you have children. They get sick. They leave school early. Things happen. School will get dismissed.
I have cramping.
Things happen.
I had a very, very bad month. And I'm in the bathroom with my legs spread, pulling the you-know-what out. And in comes my son.
Oh, come on!
That's your fault. It should have been, the door should have been closed and locked. Or at least the children know that if the door is closed, you knock. You know,
Now you're telling me to lock it. I do close it on occasion, but people know they can come in and out.
Oh, that's great, Margaret. So in other words, you're changing out a tampon. You've got diarrhea, and come on in.
If I hear a knock on the door, even if I'm sitting on the toilet, I'll say come in.
What? Why would you do that?
You are a sick woman.
How is it that I'm sick that I don't want locked doors in my home?
You don't want your son looking at you, but you tell him, come on in. What is wrong with that, lady?
Wait a minute. Hold the phone. I don't want my son looking at me as if he wants to turn me out.
You're sick to even think he looks at you like that. How old are you?
Oh, my God.
I'm 53.
How old are you, Mark?
And let me tell you, I'm 53 and I look 48.
Okay, I look 40. I'm 62. I had my children late in life. I had them at 40.
You look 60. All right, so you look 62.
I look 40. Okay, I haven't even got a wrinkle
you
on
look
my
for
face.
What?
I don't have a jaw.
So you look
I am 62.
All right. Okay, and you've got grandkids now that are staring you up and down, and they want to turn you out.
Oh, come on, will you?
No,
that is a crude term to turn you out.
I have my first grandchild due in January. And for you to even think that, if you raised your child properly, they wouldn't do that. And they do have a natural curiosity, and you talk to them about it. My children never
by the
did
way,
that. You make sure they don't see you. It's your
fault. The average family is like Amy Winehouse. If you look at that beautiful face, she's beautiful. And then when she smiles and you see all those teeth that have rotted out of her head, now you know. And that's what's going on.
Oh, well, whatever. I don't know why you would bring up that poor girl at a time like this. Listen, Natalie.
Oh, that poor girl.
Yes, that poor girl. Natalie, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it very much for sharing that with us. We're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I don't know what that had to do. That reference to Amy Winehouse.
It had to do with the fact that Amy Winehouse was a lovely girl. A lovely girl. And yet when she smiled, the teeth were... It was horrible. Horrible! I'd like to know from women out there. You know what I'm talking about. I'm Margaret Gray, and I want to know. Aren't you afraid that your kid, your son, may look at you in that way? That... Once upon a time, you wished a man would look at you that way, but it's your son.
That's great.
Well,
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here, and every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast here from the El Pacifico. Margaret Gray is with us. You are homebound now. Not homebound, but you're on your way home, Margaret?
Yes, I am. I've got Jason with me. In fact, he was at the dinner. He heard the things I was talking about. He is. He's a young man. He's a good boy. I love my son very much, and he's a very, very talented young man. But these are things, Phil, that I think every mother should know. When your son becomes 13, hold on for a minute, Phil. My son's with me in the car right now. Do you want to tell Mr. Henry what you just said? Okay, then why don't you do me a favor, Jason, and just shut up? Because I don't think Mr. Henry wants to hear what you just said to me.
What did he say?
Something about an eyeful. He got an eyeful. And I know he's talking about me.
Wait a minute. How do you know he's talking about you?
Because of what you and I were just talking about.
How do you know he got an eyeful?
He's looking out at the street as if he's looking at girls out there. But I know. Isn't that right? So, Phil, the point that I'm making, before we move on to any of your phone callers or any of the people that want to call in and talk to me because I'm the guest, is this. That young man today, what are you looking at? I just caught him. What are you looking at?
I don't know. Let me go back. Ah, my eyes.
Yeah.
What did you just do?
I pepper sprayed him in the face. Try that.
Wow.
You try that again, Jason.
How old is that boy?
13.
What is he? Sounded like he's a full-grown man. Wow.
His voice has just changed this past summer, all right? Is that all right with you, Phil? Is the world is the world turning in the... Oh, looking at my ass, huh?
Yeah! Yeah!
That's right.
So what we have now in your home is this. You're driving home with your son who is being maced and pepper sprayed by you because you think the kid is looking at your rear end or your breasts. And if he isn't, you probably are imagining it. I think the cops ought to come to your house.
What did you just say to me?
I said I think the cops ought to come to your house. I think social services should come to your house.
Social services, huh? So you think that I belong in a jail cell? You think my son should be taken away from me? No one takes my son away from me. No one. Do you understand that?
Mr. Henry, please help me because I'm going to be the...
Don't you talk to Mr. Henry. I talk to Mr. Henry.
I just heard that boy. Did he say please help me?
He's clowning around.
Mr. Henry, my mom is disappointed by taking a business. Okay. Sorry.
Right. So, Phil, every time he tries to talk to you, he's going to get it. So I would suggest you not talk to him.
So you're hitting this kid with mace and with spray.
No, it's not mace. Pepper spray, hello? How many times are you going to say mace?
All right, pepper spray, I'm sorry.
And it's actually Tabasco spray. So every time that you encourage Jason J. Delmonico to talk to you, he's going to get it. Because you're a bad influence on him, Phil, and I'm sorry to say that. So, are you going to talk to him?
No, you don't want me to talk to him.
Come on.
No, you said not to talk to him.
Just say hi to him.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Uh-huh. Try to talk to my son, huh?
Whoa!
That's really funny. Goodbye. And by the way, I am going to call Child Protective Services.
All right, just for that? That tastes pretty good. Why, you lousy little smartass. Nope, don't hurt
Phil
me.
Hendry.
What's that? End that. End that.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it is talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And this is also, of course, radio for patriots, by patriots, each and every night. Join us. And join us online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You could go over and look at our live streaming video of the show right now from the El Pacifico studios here. And also head over to our merchandise store and pick up a best of, a legacy best of CD, or one of our bits of merchandise. By the way, we're getting our Phil Hendry Show ball caps in this week, I believe, so those are going to be available as well. And, you know, get a backstage pass. You can listen to this show in the podcast form and archives that go back many, many years, thousands of hours. It's there at philhendryshow.com. So as you know, the second most powerful earthquake in Virginia's recorded history was felt by millions on the East Coast. It prompted evacuations of office buildings and monuments in the nation's capital. There were no major injuries after the 5.8 magnitude earthquake, which struck about 40 miles northwest of Richmond, Virginia. The quake also disrupted cell phone service in many hours. I have friends in Virginia that I could not reach myself for many hours this afternoon. It's one of the largest that we've had here, said U.S. Geological Survey seismologist Lucy Jones. Magnitude 2.8 and 2.2 aftershocks were recorded as well. Those of us on the West Coast were familiar with the earthquake and the epicenter and the reading on the seismograph and the aftershocks. But I think we can all think back on the first earthquake that we ever experienced to know what the folks in Virginia, New York, North Carolina, Maryland, Washington, D.C., what they were experiencing. In fact, Don Parsley is right now in Washington, D.C. Don, thanks for joining me, and I know you've been there, and you've been talking with people who are out doing whatever they can in terms of emergency relief. Is there a lot to be done?
Well, Phil, right now it's hard to say. Virginia is the major area that we're hitting, and we're going to do what we can to get into Virginia and assess the problem.
Well, but I my understanding is no major injuries. There were no deaths, thank God. And so it doesn't look like, other than perhaps assessing structural damage and assessing, you know, structural viability, it looks like things are okay.
That's the initial assessment, but you have to understand that Virginia is a state that it's not New York, it's not California, it is a state that has urban centers, to be sure, Richmond, places like that, but then it also, there are areas of Virginia that are a lot more sparse, not as populated. There's areas that are a little tough for us to get into. We got to get in there and see how everybody is.
When you say tough to get into, what do you mean?
Well, speak of to get to. There's people living there, but there's no, there hasn't been any real road built to it. The only way you get to it is by way of foot, or on foot, I should say, or some kind of a some sort of a domestic animal or something, a horse or something. But you're not gonna, you can't get in there. We got to get four wheel drive to get up into some of these areas. And of course, the other part of it, Phil, is a lot of areas of Virginia that we've never been to before. I don't know that the authorities in Virginia have fully, mapped out or cartographed, I should say, areas.
Well, what are you telling me? So Virginia has areas that you don't know people haven't been to, or...
Well, we want to make sure everybody's okay.
No, I understand that. But certainly the folks, wherever they live, are in touch with some level of authority, aren't they?
Well, we hope so. We certainly hope so. But we don't know. I mean, there could be. There's areas of Virginia that I flew over when I was a student at Johns Hopkins, and then I did my graduate work at Vanderbilt University. But there are areas of Virginia I flew over as an anthropologist that we saw signs of life. We saw groups of peoples who seemed to be surprised to see us or some kind of an aircraft. And we documented them.
Well, what do you're talking about Virginia. You're talking about a state in the United States of America. What do you mean they seem to be surprised to see aircraft?
No, what I'm saying is they don't often see, in parts of Virginia, they may not see the kind of helicopter that we were using. And they would look up and some of them would run away. The only reason why I'm saying all this is...
They would run away?
Yeah, some of them would, yeah. The only reason why I'm saying this is because we need to get as much as we can by way of resources, and that means money. That means money. And the resources that we need right now, we need just basic equipment. If we're going to be hiking into the backwoods or hiking into some of these areas where we don't know if these people are all right or not, we're going to need just basic foodstuffs for the parties that we send into these areas. We're going to need equipment for rappelling down the ladders of helicopters. We're going to need...
What are you going down the ladder of a helicopter for? Because you're going into some of these areas. I had no idea that Virginia was as difficult to travel in.
Well, it's again, you have to remember, it's a state that was at one time was a southern state, a northern state, so it suffered from the transition from north to south to north to south and back and forth and back and forth. It changed sides in the Civil War a couple of times.
And Virginia did.
Yeah.
I thought Virginia was the capital. Well, I know Richmond.
Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy, but that was after they had changed sides several times. So there's what we need is resources, Phil. We desperately, desperately need resources. Richmond's fine. All the urban centers are fine. We need resources to get into Virginia, to get into some of these pockets of some of these areas that we don't know what's there.
You don't know what's there. This is a state in the United States of America.
Right.
It's unbelievable. So what do you, how do people donate?
I have a PayPal account that I want people to give you the address.
All right, but let me ask you, first of all, it's a PayPal?
Yeah, it's a PayPal account that people can just go ahead and put money into. It's at Don Parsley, and I would like them to use my PayPal account to donate money. So that we can somehow, now I can get that money to the right authorities, you know.
Because I was going to say, if you're putting it into a PayPal account in your name, that then the money goes to who?
Well, then the money will go to the appropriate agencies. We're going to deal with all of the appropriate ones, you know, the Red Cross and the United Way, all of that.
So you have set up the, you've got paperwork with, I'm sorry to have to ask you this.
Well, Phil, I'm working very hard, and a lot of people are working hard. We just had the earthquake a few hours ago, so I'm trying to get organized, and I can't right now tell you where the paperwork is.
But you have, what I'm saying is, if you're asking people to donate money to a PayPal account, which I understand is under your name, and I understand that things are rapidly moving, that the money will get, people want to know the money gets to the right place.
It will get to the right place. Don't worry about it. The quake... I can tell you, Phil, the people we're trying to help are people who didn't even know it was an earthquake. They thought it was a train. They thought it was a... they didn't know what it was. I'm looking at reports coming in from all throughout the state of Virginia. I thought it was a train. Wasn't that a train? And more comments here. It sounded like somebody dropped a bomb. What is it? And go on and on and on and on. So we've got to get into these areas. We've got to tell these people it was an earthquake. They may not know what that is.
What you're basically telling me here is that there are parts of Virginia, and I did not know this. I'm sure that there are parts of California this way, I guess, that are so out of the way that people have no television?
Well, it's very, very possible they don't have TV or radio.
No TV, no radio, no cable, no nothing. Internet?
I don't see that there would be any internet access either. There's no cabling. There's no fiber optics out there. These are just very isolated pockets of people who have changed very little in 150 years. Very little has changed for them. The way they dress, what they eat. So we've got to get in there and tell them that was an earthquake and explain what that was. And we've got to bring food and everything. That's why the PayPal account that I've set up, you can donate money. That part I will do myself. I'll take the money and I'll buy food and we'll take it up there ourselves. You know?
Well, how much food can you take? I mean, how many people are we talking about?
Well, there's, well, you know, you're right. I would get some other people to help me then. I wasn't thinking, but I thought I could just go to the store.
Go to the store. So, all right. Don Parsley on the line with us here as we're talking about the earthquake on the East Coast, Virginia particularly. Don has a PayPal account that he wants people to donate money to, and that will be used to help the people. You mentioned also and the fact that you're trying to get to the people in Virginia.
Can I give that? I would like to give the PayPal address.
I want to give the PayPal address out, but I want to, if you don't mind, I want to know the names of the agencies that this money will be going to, you know.
Well, I mentioned to you, Phil. No, I mentioned to you, United Way.
Well, you mentioned them, but you didn't say there was anything official set up yet. And before we have people putting money.
I understand.
Okay. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Don Parsley, who set up a fund to help people, victims of the earthquake back east. I don't know how many people are really affected to the point where they need this kind of help. It could very well be money that is needed for the rebuilding of structures, or it could be for people who are really already having a hard time with life, and this has only made things a little bit more difficult. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Don Parsley as we talk about the Virginia earthquake right after this.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don Parsley joining me from Richmond, Virginia tonight as we discuss the earthquake. I mentioned, Don, that I've been through quite a few myself, having been born and raised in California. The most recent, probably not too long ago. I mean, I remember one being here. I remember, I think, being on the air in the studio here at least twice in the last 4 years that we've had some kind of a trembler, you know?
Well, Phil, I appreciate that very much. What I want to do is you understand that because of the your experience, you know, that I want to get the PayPal account out.
Well, I want to, and I want you to do that, but I want to make sure that everybody knows. You know, the agencies you're using, the...
I told you I'm using American Red Cross. I mean, this time is of the essence. Let me explain, and I do appreciate very much what you're saying. I really do, Phil. Time is of the essence. On your home screen, on your home page right now, you can see a building. This is not the earthquake today. This is an earthquake that happened in China. But this is the kind of thing that can happen in the United States. This could have happened today in Virginia. If you look at that building there.
Yeah, that was a Chinese quake.
No, I know that. I know that was a Chinese quake. What I'm saying is, look at that building, though. That could be, underneath that could be you or your wife. So we need to get into some of these areas of Virginia, and we need to talk, we need to contact these people.
All right, you're talking about getting into some of the areas of Virginia as if it's some Stone Age tribe that you're trying to contact, you know?
No, that's not quite what I'm saying, Phil.
Well, yeah, it is, because you're saying that there's no roads, you've got to take a pack mule, you guys have had to...
Look, to the extent that there is anyone, let me put it in a much better way, to the extent that anybody has been left out of the rescue or assistance or aid situation today as the result of the earthquake that was epicentered in Virginia, I want to underline that word, epicentered, because that means that the center of the earthquake was Virginia, and the center of the earthquake was central Virginia, and that is the area we're talking about. Very few people get in there. It's tough to get in there. You need the right kind of vehicle, and once you're in there, you have to know who to see. You have to go to the right people.
What do you mean, who to see?
Because the area is, it's an area of people that are not familiar with outsiders, so once you get into central Virginia, you have to immediately make contact with the right authority so that you're not running afoul of any clan or...
Okay, so this is what I mean, clan. So, in other words...
I'm not talking about the Ku Klux Klan.
No, I know that, but you're saying that the central Virginia, the situation there is tribal?
I didn't say tribal either. I said once you get into central Virginia, once you're able to take the off-road vehicles as far in as you can get, you have to know who to see. You have to be taken to the right individual. Otherwise, it is seen by the people that live there as a debasement of who they are. I know a guy made a joke, in fact. He went and said, "This is a debasement. I thought this was the cellar." And it was not a good joke. And he paid dearly. They wouldn't talk to him. So
I don't know what you mean. All I know is...
If you would just give out the PayPal account. There are people out there listening to you right now, Phil, that want to contribute to the PayPal account. I know. I can sense them out there. I can feel them out there. They want to contribute money to my PayPal account. And
you may be... I got to interrupt you, okay?
And they want to do it now.
Okay, you're telling me the time is of the essence.
Absolutely of the essence, because we can talk about this stuff tomorrow. We can talk about what's going on in Virginia that makes the people there so many years... Not the people in the cities of Virginia, Richmond, Roanoke, Norfolk, but in the areas of Virginia that are so backwards that the people there may not even know what happened today. All they know is that their house collapsed, or the shed that they live in collapsed, or the shack they live in collapsed. They don't know why.
Okay, we lost our caller there.
I'll get him back.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with, back on the line? Okay, for some reason we lost the connection. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking with Don Parsley about the Virginia earthquake. All right, so you have a PayPal account that you want people to donate money to, and this money is going to go toward food, toward equipment. A part of the food will be for the people that you contact, but the other part is equipment to help you get into central Virginia. Is that it?
Yeah, I think that that's a good way of putting it. But I think when you say, help me get into central Virginia, money isn't the answer, Phil. There's no amount of money that's going to help me contact the right person. There's no.
What is this contact the right person? This is what I don't understand.
Well, this is a part of Virginia that you don't know, and I would hope you'd let me explain it.
All right, well, you're explaining to me that basically what we have in Virginia is a section of the state that is Stone Age.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, yes, you did, because you said that there's no roads, that the people, when they saw a helicopter fly overhead, ran.
That was during a fire. They might have been running for a number of reasons. What I'm saying to you is the earthquake that struck today has affected a part of the state. The epicenter was in a part of the state where the people there are very clannish. They hang together. when you go in there, whether it's in an off-road vehicle, a motorcycle, when you go, if you've hiked in, if you are able to parachute in, I've done that. I've actually flown over, and I've dropped, I've parachuted.
Parachuted?
Yes, because you can't navigate some of these roads. When you go in there, you have to be very calm the way you talk to these people.
And so are you talking about hillbillies? Are you talking about...
No, well, in a way, yeah.
All right, are you talking about hillbillies? You're talking about these just backwards people?
Very backwards people, very. And the only thing that's going to help them is money. So our PayPal account that...
And the name on the PayPal account is what?
Don Parsley.
And when people donate money to that PayPal account, that money is going to go to these people?
It will go to these people, yes. The ones in Central Virginia who... I'm the only one that can really do this because I understand what they need.
Okay. And this PayPal account is in your name, and once you get this money, it'll go to the right agencies?
Yes, it will.
All right. I want to know the name of those agencies, the official name of those agencies, so that we can proceed.
I have the information in my car, Phil, and I'd be happy to...
All right, can you go get the information? We've got to take a break here in a few minutes, or maybe in a minute or so. Can you go get it?
I can have one of my assistants get it, yeah. It's in my car. I didn't know that...
Well, you have to understand, during these kinds of things, there's all kinds of scams... Okay, and people are always trying to, people don't know. So I'd like to know the names of the agencies that you're affiliated with so that when people drop money into your PayPal account, we can then verify that.
I will do that. I'll have Sandy go down and get it. It's in my car. I think it's in my briefcase. Yeah, in the trunk. She'll go down and get it, so.
All right, very good. And that will help us toward, and then we can give out the name of the PayPal account and where they can reach it and so on and so forth. Don Parsley with us as we talk about the earthquake in Virginia and how you can donate money to help either in rebuilding or help anybody who may have been caught off guard by this. 877-876-PHIL. Give us a call, 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
To my briefcase.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-7445. Don Parsley with us. And have you gotten those names, Don?
Phil, before I do that, I just wanted to show you on the screen there. There is a picture of a family. This is Red Apple Orchard, Virginia. This is an old picture. This is from the 19th century. But you can see the woman in the front. If you look at her face, there is mental issues. There's a mental problem with her. There are mental problems. All of these people. Now, a lot hasn't changed. Obviously, this is an old picture from the 20s, I think. But it's in Apple Orchard, Virginia. And a lot of that has been passed down, you know, the disease that you see in these people. And
I don't see any disease. I see a woman in the front who is sitting and is smiling.
Well, the reason why I say that is you didn't usually smile in photographs like that. The photographer would say don't smile because the idea was to catch the face as it really is. That woman smiling is showing that there's hysteria. And I don't know if you know about hysteria, but...
I know that it's an old... It was an old diagnosis that is not used anymore.
Oh, well, I guess you're a doctor, but...
No, I'm not a doctor.
You've given me a lot of arguments, but the point that I'm...
All I want is the name of the agencies, okay?
We've got them... Is Carolyn back? She's coming up with them right now, Phil.
All right, 877-876-7445 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Mike, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I grew up in Virginia, lived there all my life.
Yes, sir.
I was there at the earthquake today. I'm about as hillbilly, white trash, redneck as they come, backwoods as they come. And trust me, there's no road that people can get to. Anybody that's got a home that lives in Virginia has access to highways, stores, communications. And he acts like we're backwoods, inbred, and cut off from outside world. And the epicenter is between the two biggest cities in Virginia, Charlottesville and Richmond. And I live an hour west of where the epicenter was. And I live in a mobile home, and it shook it really bad, like side to side. I thought it was a tornado at first, but then I saw it sunny and no wind. And it shook my trailer bad, but it didn't do any damage. And there's no damage to the roads, nothing to stop anybody.
Well, this is a gentleman. Yeah, so this is a gentleman here, Don, that is, you know, lives in that part of the state.
Sir, I just wanted to ask you. First of all, I didn't mean to say you're inbred. I'm sorry. I don't mean that at all. All I'm trying to say is that because of the unique demographic nature of Virginia and the geographic nature of Virginia, because of the war between the states, that Virginia was sort of left off the list of places where they wanted to get in and really get infrastructure. Do you say that you live in the center, right there at the epicenter of the earthquake, sir?
I live 1 hour west of it, and it shook my mobile home really hard.
Right.
Side to side, I thought it was going to flip over. But, you know, there's no damage, nothing to the roads, no reason that anybody can't come and go as they please, go to work, go to stores. And
well, what about up into some of the wood? What about up into some of the wooded area? You know the area I'm talking about there. The
I live bordering the Shenandoah National Park. I live in the woods.
Okay. What about all the way into the center area, the wooded area, where a lot of the people there don't have, some of them have no internet, or by understanding.
Well, like I live in a mobile home, it's pretty much just a shack. It did no damage to it. It could have knocked it off the foundation, but it didn't. And
Only people that
had damage to their homes would people be with higher-end homes that have a lot of money tied up in it, and they would have homeowners insurance and everything else. And, you know, I just don't see what the big call for aid is when there's no damage. They said there was damage in D.C. to Cathedral and Pentagon.
Right,
As far as individual residences and homes, nobody's hurting like that.
Well, we want to do, Phil, is we want to get, if we can get a, the Army has the Hueys that carry a lot of people. If we can go in and we can drop people down into the area.
The man just said that the roads are fine, they're serviceable, whatever, you know.
Well, okay, I don't know if the gentleman knows the area I'm talking about, but I'm talking about right into the thick of it, you know, right in, you know, even the police don't go there. You know the area I'm talking about, Mike?
Yeah, sir, I drive a truck all over the eastern United States from Florida to Maine.
The police are afraid to, they're afraid to go into this area.
Well, I don't know why, because it's no clans, nothing you're talking about makes any sense. Your University of Virginia is like 20 miles from the epicenter. And
Do you know who to contact in there? When you go in there, do you know who to contact? When you go in there, do you know who to contact?
You don't make any sense. There's nobody you need to contact. Everybody's fine.
I know everyone's fine. I know everyone's fine. But I'm saying, when you drive your truck in there to make a delivery, whatever, do you know who to speak to, so you don't, you know?
What are you talking about? Who to speak to?
I'm talking in terms of the not the Klan thing, but I mean, so you don't offend anybody. You go to the right
people
man.
People are not like that, man. I don't know where you're from or what you think, but Virginia is for lovers. We're happy people. It's, nobody's going to shoot at you if you go in there and try to give them aid. But like I said, nobody's needing anything. It's,
that's what I was afraid of.
It scared everybody, but it...
that's all I was afraid of. I was afraid that...
I've talked to everybody in my family, all my friends. I got... My sister lives in Virginia Beach. She felt it. And, you know, there's no damage, no need for aid.
And you have contact with her? You speak to her?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I what the gentleman's saying is good, because I remember going in to some of these areas once, Phil. I had food and clothing, and somebody did take a shot at me.
They take a shot at you? Well, I don't know why they would do that.
But what we want to do is get the money to the PayPal account.
The PayPal account. What is the name of the PayPal account again?
It's the Don Parsley PayPal account.
Okay, but what are the names? What I'm trying to find out is, what are the names of the agencies? Now, you mentioned the American Red Cross, United Way, but you don't have the official. Do you have the numbers on that?
I've got those. She bring everything up? She brought everything up. Good. I got my briefcases out right now, Phil. So if we can get this gentleman here, Mike. Would you want to donate?
No, I'll tell you what, I'll give you my account number and you can donate some to me personally because you're scamming the country right now.
Well, what do you mean scam? You know,
well, I'm asking you for...
Nobody needs anything. Everybody's fine. Earth's shook,
yes.
And that's it.
Just in
Poor
case.
Poor people that live in shacks, it ain't going to hurt a little old shack. Whatever we live in, you know...
It'll collapse the shack. The shack will collapse.
If you live in a $250,000 home, I'm sure might have damage. But people live in a little trailer like me paying $350 a month rent, there's no harm.
Give me the name of the agencies.
I've got them right here, Phil. They're here. Get them out of the briefcase. She's getting them. So, Mike, I'll put you down for $100. $100.
No, you're not. Don't give him any money. And
what about you, Mr. Hendry?
No, I'm not giving any money. I'm not giving any money until I find out the name.
I told you, and this gentleman has backed me up. He just said he lives in a shack. How many other people are in that area buried under shack? How many people are not as lucky as Mike, and when the earthquake hit, their shack turned into just a... You drive by it, and you think, oh, that's just a garbage heap, and you keep on going. There might be a person in there.
No,
right,
it's nothing like that. It's nothing at all like that.
If a shack collapsed, you'd drive by thinking, oh, that's just a pile of garbage that people throw their tin cans, right?
No!
It's nothing like that.
Well,
it didn't do that much damage. It shook the ground. It shook the homes.
What?
I've talked to
Give
people
me the names
living
of these.
In houses, trailers, everything else, and there was no damage.
Okay, well, that's the people you talk to, but in the interior area.
Okay, you're going into this interior area. Mike, thanks for... I want the names of those agencies, okay?
I got it. Carrie, give them to me. Here it is. Here's the paper. Here, I got it. All right. Our PayPal account is officially hooked. This is the wrong one. She got the wrong one. Get the one...
You know what? By the time we get off the air at this hour, I want to know the names of these agencies.
No, I don't like being spoken to that way.
Well, I you know, we're wasting this gentleman's... Thank you very much, Mike, for your call. 877-876, thank you, 877-876-7445. I'm trying to find out the name of these.
I know what you're trying to do. You've been yelling it in my ear, Phil. I'm trying to do what you want me to do.
Okay, I can't ask people to donate money. Now, this gentleman is from Central Virginia.
Well, he said that he was. I have no way of knowing that. I asked him, who do you contact when you go into Central Virginia? And he said, and he was very cagey. And
he said you don't have to contact anybody.
You don't have to contact anybody.
That's what he said.
Have you ever been in these very clannish... And
he said it's not a clannish area. I don't know what you mean.
When you go into these areas, Phil, you have to know who to get the high sign from. There's always going to be one person who'll give you the thumb. Who'll give the thumbs up for you. And then you can go in... And I can take aid to these people, but until I know who that person is...
This guy just said there's no such person. There's nobody that gives you the thumbs up. There's no clans. There's nothing. And that picture that you got there on our website, or actually on the Phil TV, that's of some family in the 1920s in Hartford, Michigan.
Yes, but they are very similar to many of the Virginia families. And
oh, I see. So we can't get a picture of the... Don Parsley is with us. Our number 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking about the earthquake today and how you can donate to his PayPal account. I want to find out, Bud.
Yeah.
I want the names. I want them within 5 minutes, or I'm going to hang up on the guy. Tell him that.
All right.
Tell him I'm hanging up on him if I don't have the names, and I want his license number as well. I want it all, or that's it.
Yeah, Ms. Parsley.
Don't do it now, okay, when we go to commercial.
Hold on.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour coming up next hour right here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots Patriots. It's Phil Hendry Show.
And the man you make contact with.
The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Today there was an earthquake in Virginia. It affected the states of New York. It affected states of New York, Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland. It affected the cities of Virginia, as well as North Carolina, as well as Washington, D.C., major urban centers like D.C. and New York City. On the line with me is Don Parsley in Washington, who has set up a PayPal account, and you have yet to give me the name of the agencies that you're affiliated with. And
I want to interrupt you for a minute, okay?
But what I'm saying is true. You haven't given me the names of the agencies you're affiliated with. What is your website?
Phil, Americans are the most patriotic people.
What is your website?
It's angelcities.com. It's
angelcities.com. What is the website?
I've got Karen's gone down to the car to get you what you need. She's coming back up. Americans are the most patriotic people in the world, Phil. And you have taken an opportunity for us, and I'm saying this with all due respect, Phil. You've taken an opportunity for us to help the people of Central Virginia, the people of what is called Down Central.
And what is Down Central?
That is the name that they give that part of the state because it is just, it's had a hard time. It's had a rough time contacting whoever is there. And
see, there you see, this is whoever is there stuff. I just talked to a guy, you talked to him too, who lives in Central Virginia.
Hold on. She came up with the papers now.
All right, I want the name, and I told Bud to tell you, I want the names of the charities that you're affiliated with.
Oh my God. Oh my.
What happened?
Hold on. Oh my God. Thank God it was a rental, but the car's been stolen. Oh, my God.
Your car has been stolen.
Yes, it's in the lot. Why didn't you lock it? Karen, my assistant, she didn't lock the car when she came. She went back down. It was gone. The car's gone, Phil. The papers are gone. What? No, but you did it. You know that? And I swear, if there wasn't a law against hitting a woman, I would, you know, and you know what, I'm telling you the truth. Phil,
I just heard you threaten that girl.
I said, I'm not going to do it because there's a law against it.
Yeah. So it's very convenient, isn't it, that your car's been stolen?
I don't like what you're intimating.
I don't like what you've been intimating all hour, which is that you've got a PayPal account. You know, just like that guy said, okay, that man from Central Virginia. What?
You're trying to tell me that a guy from Central Virginia is smarter than me. I just spent an entire hour trying to tell you that I've got a parachute in supplies to people like that. You're telling me he's smarter than me?
Yeah, because he said, why don't I set up a PayPal account and you can send me your money?
Because you are and he am liars because...
You are and he am liars?
Do you talk much?
No, do you?
I just heard you... What you just said, I can't understand.
What you said, I didn't understand. You and he am liars.
I didn't say anything of the sort.
You was sure as hell, Bud, didn't he say that?
I don't know.
You talk like you don't... You talk like you don't know what the next thing is you're going to say.
I'm telling you that I have done everything I can for for that man who comes from Central Virginia to call me up on this show and say to me that I'm scamming him. And then you back him up and you say he's smarter than me and I've got to get an army helicopter and parachute food to that guy? Boy.
No, you don't. That's the whole thing. You do not. He already made the point that you don't. He already made the point the roads are in, the infrastructure's built, there's people that live there, they live in shacks, the earthquake isn't gonna knock a shack down. You made this statement that, well, if somebody lives in a shack and the earthquake flattens it, you're gonna drive by just thinking it's someone's compost heap.
I did not say that.
All right, you said garbage or something. But the fact is, while you've been talking all that, we've been waiting for you to tell us the name of the official affiliation you have with charities for your PayPal account, and you said you're going to get it out of your car, and you said the girl was coming upstairs with it in the briefcase, and she's going to, oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong paper, and...
But, you know, you sound like you get a lot of fun, Phil, out of humiliating people.
No, I'm just giving people a background here. And it was the wrong paper, and then she goes down, and now the car is stolen. She didn't lock the car, it's stolen.
Yes, it's stolen. And that happens, Mr. Henry. Do you want to know what else happens? Earthquakes in Virginia, they happen. If I told you yesterday morning that there would be an earthquake in central Virginia, and I would have to go fly over it in a whirly bird,
What do you mean a whirly bird?
What do they call... Wow, you've never heard of a whirly bird.
What are you talking about a whirly bird, man? I thought you said Huey.
It's the same thing.
No, it isn't. A whirly bird is one of those old school glass bubble...
What? That's a helicopter. I got to get a helicopter, a whirly bird. I got to go in a whirly bird, or in a helicopter, however you want to...
A whirly bird? Brother, I haven't heard that in years.
Well, guess what? There's a first time for everything.
I said I haven't heard it in years. It's not the first time I've heard it.
Well, then there's a second time. You know what? You know something, Phil? There's a place. A place that you're going to call home. It's called H.E. Go ahead. Double hockey sticks. And in this place that you're going to call home...
I just hang up on that guy, okay?
Well, I think he's hung up on, but I'm not sure. Let me check. Yes, sir. Is it...
Get out of here and hang up on him. Don Parsley, who has just... And I apologize, folks. I will never have that man on this radio show again. Never again. Because what he has just done on this program, what he's essentially done is he's essentially discredited. Well, you know what? I won't even say it. He's discredited himself. He hasn't discredited anybody else.
Yeah, he didn't just blow all the people are doing good work.
Get closer. I want you guys to start using the microphones, okay?
What?
Get closer to the mic.
I said he had not discredited the other people doing good work.
Yes, other people are doing great work. He didn't discredit. But he discredits himself when he comes on here and for a solid hour is hemming and hawing about the agency, and then the car got stolen.
Yeah, but it was a rental car, so it's okay.
Well, that's the whole point, bud. Don't you get it? It's a rental car. So in other words, if it was his car that got stolen, well, that would seem unbelievable, right? That would seem like, but it's a rental car, so it's just, you know, in case we see him driving around in his car, I'll say, hey, I thought it was stolen.
What kind of cars he got?
I don't know, so I guess...
You wouldn't know them.
No, I guess I wouldn't. But the point that I'm making here... Well, fortunately, nothing happened today in that earthquake in Virginia. Nothing happened by way of fatalities. Nothing happened by way of serious injury. That is a wonderful news. And having, as I said, having been through a few of these, even one that's a 5.9, which sounds mild in comparison to some of the earthquakes that we've had, it's not. A 5.9, a 6, those are tough earthquakes. And I believe the Sylmar quake when I was in college, the Sylmar quake was a 6. And we lost, I think, 25, 30 people. A VA hospital collapsed back then in 71. Coming back with our News and Information Hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And a world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. And I'm just looking for this thing, bud.
Yeah, I don't think I'll find it.
Well, I'm looking for this. I won't tell everybody what I'm looking for. Aha! I think I did.
You look at that guy that cut people's head off.
No, I'll tell people later. But I think I found it. All right. Anyway, welcome to the program, 877-876-PHIL. This is our News and Information Hour. And don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. Don't forget our merchandise store. Don't forget our downloads. Don't forget our archives. Don't forget our podcast. Don't forget. Go to philhenryshow.com for all your Phil Henry Show needs. I get more people contacting me on Twitter. Hey, where can I get this show, that show? Go to our website. It is all there for you. Thank you. All right. Robert, what do you got?
I think there's a good story here about toilet paper.
Roberts, you like this one, huh?
What did it got to do with anything?
You don't think I got anything to do with happening? People, look at this. Bring back your own toilet paper. Back to school.
You got to bring your own toilet paper to school, bud. Do you ever have to do that?
No.
Okay, well, then don't be sitting there judging everything. That's where things are now. That's where we're at now in this country. When Emily Cooper headed off to first grade in Moody, Alabama last week, she was prepared with all the stuff on her elementary school's must-bring list, two double rolls of paper towels, three packages of Clorox wipes, three boxes of baby wipes, two boxes of garbage bags, liquid soap, Kleenex, and Ziplocs. The first time I saw it, my mouth hit the floor, Emily's mother, Kristen Cooper, said of the list, which also included perennials like glue sticks, scissors, and crayons. On the list for pre-kindergartners at McClendon Elementary in Nevada, Texas, a package of cotton balls, two containers of facial tissue, rolls of paper towels, sheaves of manila and construction paper, and a package of paper sandwich bags. In Joshua School District, the same thing. Big, big lists. And here's a school in Honolulu. Every student must show up with a four-pack of toilet paper. Shrinking budgets and outsized demands for basic supplies, and while many parents are wincing at picking up the bill, retailers are rushing to cash in by expanding the back-to-school category like never before. And let me tell you retailers something. These are parents, these are families, this is stuff that's needed for school. There's no choice. The kids need to have these antiseptic wipes because God knows what new flu is going to be bothering us this year. The kids need to have toilet paper. The schools can't afford it. If you people who are selling this stuff start jacking the price, we're going to find out and we're going to name your ass.
That's what we ought to do.
I'm telling you, we will. I'm going to find out who you are, and I'm not saying you will, but if I find, I don't care who you are, if I find out that you're jacking the price on these back-to-school essentials because all of a sudden everybody is in need, and you think you're going to make yourself a quick dollar, guess again, friend. What's the thing they say, we'll make you famous? Isn't that what McCain or Obama or one of those guys said, we'll make you famous.
What are you going to do? I'm going to find that out.
I can find out how much they did charge, and I'll find out what they're charging now. It's not a difficult thing. How much is a four-pack of toilet paper? What was the price last month? What's the price this month? Because the country's is having a tough time economically. We can argue about the reasons, folks, you know, and those are things that we do need to determine. And we're not going to determine it by calling each other names. And we're not going to determine it by wishing each other goes to hell. And we're not going to determine it by calling people commies. And we're not, you know, and I got to tell you something, the rancor in this country is matching that which preceded the Civil War. If you think I'm kidding, I'm not. But because we are stupid in this country and we don't have any knowledge of history, we don't know that we're replicating a period of time when we accused each other of we damned each other. We accused each other of trying to undermine really vicious stuff. But, you know, like a traitorous behavior, things like this. And I'm not talking about whether you supported the war in Iraq. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking right now. And let me tell you what, that happened in the 1850s. And if you want to know why it's important to know history, these are the days that you live through. This is why, because you can see things happening and you remember studying other periods in the history of this country and you recognize certain trends. And while everybody else is walking around with their thumb up their rear end, you can see things, and it worries you a little bit. And the dialogue is ignorant. I don't care if Maxine Waters, and I'm sure that in the mind of that very narrow woman, that very small woman, I'm a racist. I'm sure I am. She's a small-minded human being. I've talked to her before. She can't have a conversation. She's a dictatorial, pressuring, suffocating human being. She doesn't let you get a word in edgewise. She thinks she's got all the answers. Well, she doesn't. And I'm not just singling her out because she's a liberal. On the conservative side, we have all of those jackasses like the Steve Kings of the world talking about dancing in the street if Obama gets elected. We've got, believe me, folks, if you think you got the, if you think you're on the right side of the political argument, I can find a dumbass somewhere in your midst. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know, But I keep using the same example. You don't drive the same speed everywhere you go. So why would you hold on to the same political philosophy with every year that passes? How stupid can you be? Some days you need government. Even a conservative will tell you that. And some days government's bad. Even a liberal will tell you that. Some days they got to be there because everything has gone to hell, and some days we don't want them anywhere around us because we're doing just fine. That's how things operate in America. You know, the old, you know, remember Leonardo DiCaprio in The Departed? What did he say, bud?
Families always rise and fall in America.
Yeah, he said Nathaniel Hawthorne said it.
Yeah, Nathaniel Hawthorne, they quoted Nathaniel Hawthorne. Families are always rising and falling in America. Well, guess what else is always rising and falling in America? America! And you don't have the same solution for every problem. Cutting taxes is not the same. It's not the solution for every problem. Jobs is not the solution for every problem. Government spending, not the solution for every problem. You have to understand the times you live in. And if we aren't smart enough to hear that truth, if we're not smart enough to understand that, then, you know, we don't deserve it, man. This is a generation that's going to go down in talk about going down in infamy. Remember when Roosevelt said that about the Japanese? This generation will become an infamous generation of people that just were strangled on their own bullcrap. So anyway,
bet you're talking about toilet.
Talk about toilet paper.
Yes, toilet paper. Schools across the country beginning the new school year with shrinking budgets, and outside demands for basic supplies. And while many parents are wincing at picking up the bill, retailers are rushing to cash in. Now some back-to-school aisles are almost becoming janitorial supply destinations as multi-packs of paper towels, cleaning spray, and hand sanitizer are crammed alongside pens, notepads, and backpacks. Office Max is featuring items like Clorox wipes in its school display and is running two-for-one specials on cleaners like gum remover and disinfectant spray. Office Depot has added paper towels and hand sanitizers to its back-to-school aisles, staples, so, you know. And you got to pick up there's no choice. You got no choice. The kids have got to have that. The reason why they're having these sanitizers is because of all these diseases. You know, I don't really know necessarily whether that's needed all the time. I know that people get sick. And, you know, ever since I got that damn flu myself,
You every time you go to the store, you're wiping it down.
Yeah, you always wipe it down.
What do you mean I wipe it down?
You wipe it down.
What do I wipe down?
Talk about the shopping cart.
Then say it, man.
People are going to think nothing dirty.
You guys are talking about every time you go to the store, you wipe it down. Let people know what I'm wiping down, okay?
Why, are you embarrassed about it?
Not, get out of here embarrassed. Yeah, every time I go to the store, I take those handy wipes, man, and I wipe the shopping cart because I don't want to get leprosy. All right, so there it is. The shift is notable even at stores that sell much more than office supplies. When I walk through the back rooms of our stores where the layaway orders are stored, not only are you seeing things you expect to see, computers and apparel, you're seeing those sorts of household supplies the teachers are asking for, school systems are asking for, kids now have to bring. For several years, the list has been getting lengthier, but in many parts of the country, educators and retailers say the economic downturn has also pushed them into uncharted territory. It's definitely spiked this year, said Bob Thacker, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Advertising at Office Max. All right, so that's the good news there. You know, we'll get through it, I think. Yeah, we will. We'll get through it, but you know, it costs these families a lot of money. So, like we said,
if you're gonna tell on people speaking,
spit it out, man.
Yeah, you're gonna tell on the people they're charging too much.
Yes, if we find out that there are retailers out there that are gouging people, we will talk about them, mention them, and like that. All right, we're coming back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I found that name that I wanted to find, and I think we'll talk about that. Also, the controversial new Martin Luther King Memorial. Is it too white? It's made out of marble. I mean, isn't it? Maybe it's not made out of marble. I don't know. We'll find out. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. Now, I know that we may have a visit from Bob Green, I think. I don't know. At this particular point, I don't know that Robert Green from Fraser Foods is going to be on with us tonight or tomorrow night. I know he's had an issue with the people were what, bud?
People were at, they'll get a sandwich at the deli counter, and then a guy, can you put another piece of meat on there? And Mr. Green is...
They're getting too much meat.
They're getting too much meat on their sandwiches? You got to be kidding me.
Well, that's what he said.
All right. Well, we'll talk with Robert Green perhaps tonight, if not tonight, later on. Vernon Dozier as well, probably tomorrow night with the earthquake take and what was happening in his family. Now, I don't know why it was I wanted to talk about this, but I got a mind of talking about we were talking about serial killers, which we talk an awful lot about around here.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what's the name of those two serial killers? And the guys didn't know what I was talking about. I said, the guys in the 18th century, they were brothers.
I never heard of them.
Yeah, these two guys were brothers in the 18th century now. And the latter part of the 18th century, around the time of the birth of the country, believe it or not, folks, there were two serial killers operating, brothers, Wiley and Micajah Harpe, H-A-R-P-E. These guys were out killing and murdering people during the early years of this country. They were known as highwaymen. It was another fancy term for just a guy that would stick you up as you were going down the road. Or river pirates. They would just, be out on the river and rob you. And they were murderers. But the word is about these guys is that they really liked to kill. They were said to have been born in North Carolina to Scottish parents. Their father or their uncles were, this is all alleged bullcrap Wikipedia stuff, Tory allegiance, which means they were fighting on the side of the British. Maybe. Nonetheless, these guys went around. They killed something like 40 men, women, and children before they were finally in 1799 caught up with, or at least one of them, by this posse.
Yeah, this is bitching what the guy done.
Well, the posse was raised by a man named John Leeper, L-E-I-P-E-R, in Kentucky. And it was raised because they had killed a woman named Mrs. Stiegel, the wife of Moses Stiegel. And so Mr. Leeper gets a posse together, chase these guys down, and he catches up. In fact, Leeper is the one who catches up with Big Harpe, the older brother, Micah J., first. He catches up with this guy, and they begin a scuffle, and out comes a tomahawk, one of those small axes.
Yeah, it's like what the Indians use.
Yes. And Mr. Leeper, John Leeper, the guy that got this posse together, he overcomes Big Harpe. Then Moses Stiegel arrives, who's the husband of the late woman, the murder victim. And this guy, Moses Stiegel, grabs the tomahawk and begins basically decapitating Big Harpe. So they kill him, cut his head off, and this is what they did in those days, folks. So don't, think too unkindly of them. But this is what people did in those days to say there's law and order in this town. In this town here, there will be law and order. Or in this county, or in this area, we have people who will do this if you get out of line. They took his head, and they stuck it on a stick at the crossroads there. And the crossroads there are still known as Harpe's Head Road.
Are you kidding me?
I swear to God.
So they named it after a guy. They stuck a man's head on a stick and named a road after it?
I don't know that they named the road immediately after it. It's not like they said, oh, wow, look at that head on a stick. I said, why don't we just call it Harpe's Head? Yeah. I don't know if they did that, but it's right at the crossroads. It's in Webster County, Kentucky. Webster County, Kentucky, and the name of it is Harpe's Head Road. Now, I looked this up. Harpe's Head Road runs right through this town. I don't know the name of the town. It's the main drag, and they do have every year some kind of a festival.
They're always having festivals in these places that have colorful histories.
Yeah, well, what do you think?
But of course they're going to do that. It's tourist money. And they do. They have some kind of a festival or some sort of a event there in Webster County where they, I don't know.
They'll probably walk around with a head on a stick.
I don't know. They probably walk around, hey, Harpe's Head, hey, something.
Think they sell cotton candy?
Why would they sell cotton candy?
I don't know. Just so you can, if it's a festival.
Sure, yeah, they'll probably sell cotton candy.
Well, why would they probably not have much of an appetite, though?
Nobody's going to give a crap about that, about the head?
Yeah.
No one's going to give a damn. It's so long ago, it's got the ring of just some old pirate tale. You know, how these things have the, you know, they're so long ago, it's like an adventurous kind of weird story. It's no longer a horrific tale of crime and murder. So, in any event, that's what happened. And these two guys, the Bloody Harps, were responsible for known murders of no less than 40 men, women, and children. Now, the younger brother, known as Little Harp, his name was Wiley Harp. His older brother now is killed. His head's cut off, and it's stuck on a stick. And the name of the road is Harp's Head. Now the little brother is off and has eluded authorities for some time. He used an alias, but he was finally caught because there was a reward out for him. He was caught by Samuel Mason, I think was the man's name, and he was hanged in 1804.
What'd they hang him for?
Because of the murders, man.
Oh.
He was killing people with his brother. Jeez.
You killed everybody with his brother, you idiot.
You're the idiot, man. I thought they already cut his head off.
Different brother. Different brother. So that's the story of the Harp brothers, probably the first serial killers in American history, because they were operating, as I say, about the time of the birth of the country. And I don't know...
How do you do that with a war going on and stuff?
Yeah, they probably they'd kill a guy and they think so, like the British done it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you mean, if the war going on?
Well, you're going to kill a guy, and oh, yeah, here comes a... I don't know.
Well, it wasn't like they're killing a guy, well, here's a battle. Uh-oh, here's a battle. We better get in the... Well, we got to kill a guy. I don't know, man. Maybe they were in areas where their battles weren't happening. I don't know, but in any event, that's the story. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about this controversial new MLK Memorial. Eager visitors flocked to the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on Monday to catch the first glimpse of the recently erected 29-foot-tall memorial of Dr. Martin Luther King. The monument will be officially dedicated by President Obama on Sunday, the 48th anniversary of King's I Have a Dream speech. The $120 million memorial is the first on the mall that does not honor a president or fallen soldiers, and the momentous occasion is sparking controversy because some people think it's too white. I swear to God, folks, you know, if we didn't know there'd be a controversy, here comes a Martin Luther King statue. Gonna be a controversy. Everything we do now, there's a controversy. You can't put a building up, a statue up. You can't mow a lawn. There's gonna be a controversy. Did they cut it too short? Did they leave it too long? Critics are not pleased that the statue was sculpted by a Chinese artist. Okay, well, that sucks. Do you know that the Statue of Liberty was made in France, or does that matter? And that it was crafted using Chinese granite. Statue of Liberty was made in France? They claim that the finished product is also too white, too small, fails to properly honor the civil rights leader, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I love it. I haven't even seen it, and I love it. I don't think they should change a thing on it. You know, people around the world, you know, they when we get it right, the people around the world honor us. We don't have to worry about nobody. Martin Luther King didn't wake up one day and say, gee, I sure would like to have the people of Europe love me and respect America. Abraham Lincoln didn't get up in the morning and say, I want to become president because I want to have a good effect on Europe and Asia and Africa. They cared about their country. And they let the rest of that bull crap take care of itself. We are so worried about how everybody sees us now in the world. No wonder this country's got its head up its ass. However, we're here to make things right. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and Phil TV in HD right after this.
Let me see that picture. Yeah, it sucked.
Give me that.
Phil Henry. For Patriots, by Patriots.
It's
the Phil Henry Show.
No, it ain't only two. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I was just talking to Bud and Robert. I don't know why it is, but throughout my entire life, it seems like there's only ever been four living ex-presidents at any one time. Now, I'm sure that it's, you know...
That's impossible. There had to have been more.
Well, there doesn't have to have been more, but it just seems like that. That I'm sure that there were. But like right now, there's four living ex-presidents.
Hold on, wait. Let me do it.
Let me do it.
No, let me do it.
Robert, do it. What do you mean, let me do it? Go ahead.
There, Bush, Clinton.
No.
Shut up, bud, will you?
Shut up. Bush, Clinton, Daddy Bush, Carter.
That's it. Four.
You said when the Reagan Library got committed.
What do you mean the late Reagan Library got committed? You mean when the Reagan Library opened, they had a whole bunch of cars. I'll never forget. I was on the freeway at the time. And all of a sudden, I see these limos, one after the other, and all kinds of cops and all kinds of Secret Service. Like, you know when there's a president coming through town, and only these were like four presidents, I swear to God. When they opened up the Reagan Library over here in Simi Valley, it was during Daddy Bush's term. So Reagan was an ex-president, technically. It was Reagan. It was Carter. It was Ford. And it was Nixon.
What do you mean, Nixon? He's dead.
Not when they did the library, man.
Not when they had the library open.
So that was four. It seems like there's always only four. I don't know. I could be wrong. When I was a kid, and it's a very vague memory, but I know for a fact there were guys alive that were like Hoover. I mean, I remember they interviewed Herbert Hoover on TV, you know, and things were so different, it seemed. You know,
what'd he say?
Well, I don't know. They said, well, President Hoover, what do you think about this Vietnam thing? I don't know. Where's that? You know, Eisenhower was around. Eisenhower, but there's some presidents that the job kills them, like, within, as soon as they're out of the office. Johnson didn't last, you know.
When he died?
Johnson died within, like, 4 years of, Johnson was gone. He was dead within 4 years. Killed Roosevelt.
Well, killed Kennedy.
No, it did. He got assassinated, man, okay?
Well.
Not the same killed Kennedy.
Well, it sort of did.
No, it didn't. I'm talking about the job, the stress and the strain of the job. It killed Kennedy. The stress and the strain of that job killed Roosevelt, although the guy was on his fourth term. So no president's ever had four terms. I bet you four terms as president of the United States would kill anybody. He had an aneurysm or something. His head exploded. And then Eisenhower, I think, lasted. Johnson was dead within 4 years. Nixon lasted a long time. Nixon's just one of those guys that he wasn't going to die just so people, he didn't want to give anybody the satisfaction. Ford lasted a long time. Carter did too. But Reagan, there's another guy.
Well, it didn't kill Reagan.
No, but, you know, as soon as Reagan left office, Alzheimer's kicked in. I think that really ravaged him, man. Bush, maybe there's something to do with the health. People are healthier now, you know. People are taking care of themselves better. The presidents, they get more.
They got more. They like more White House doctors and all the different doctors. They all get the physical examination.
Yeah, they're getting better medical coverage, I guess, or better medical treatment. Anyway, getting back to this Martin Luther King Memorial. The memorial is strange and weak. This is the view of some jackasses. Apparently, Martin Luther King Jr., according to Blake Gopnik at the Daily Beast, was white. This is Blake Gopnik. And what's Blake do? He writes for the Daily Beast. And what is the Daily Beast? Just something else that must be published because there's all this space on the World Wide Web. So let's do a political sheet. And we better have something to write about. So Blake Gopnik decided that the statue's too white. You jackass. You got to be kidding, Blake. That's what you might think looking at this granite memorial that gives King pale, freckled skin. And that's only one of the problems with the sculpture. It's also too small. At 29 feet, it's dwarfed by most decent-sized trees. With so many questionable artistic decisions, it's impossible to imagine the memorial finding a place in future histories of art. And fails to capture King's legacy. What was intended as a moving monument more closely resembles Han Solo frozen carbonite from the movie Star Wars. You just knew that this was not, people weren't going to dig it.
Yeah, but why do you say that, man? I mean, aren't these legitimate criticisms?
No, these aren't legitimate criticisms. This is art criticism. These are people who are saying, I got to write about something, let me come up with something, and let me start to complain about something, and we can throw one more thing we all got to worry about out into the mix. We need, as we were talking during the break, you can't use the F word, But we were saying the country needs a shut the F up czar. We need somebody that comes out and tells everyone to shut up. A czar, okay?
Yeah, but they're going to bitch the Obama's name as czar.
Great, then we can have the Senate confirm them. A cabinet post. It's the secretary of shut the F up, okay? And when the country gets into its whiny, bitchy phase, which we've been having a lot of, we've been on our, excuse me for saying this, but we've been on our period here as a country for a long time. We've been crying and complaining and with a headache for a long time. And yeah, maybe we got reasons to feel that way, but you know, it's time we start to butch up a little around here and shut up. But be that as it may, what we need is the national shut the F up secretary.
What's he going to do?
He's going to go out there and give, he's going to say, and hello, I'm the national shut the F up secretary, as you know. Yes. By the way, this Martin Luther King Memorial, that's too bad. You know, that's just the way it's going to look. Shut your mouth. Shut your hole. Now, I'm sure that whatever the hell his name is, Gopnik, at the Daily Beast, will be indignant and will say, oh, well, yeah, well, you shut up. But I think if you get the first, if you come out with and make the first foray into the shut the F up territory, it'll make everybody else look just like a bunch of pikers. So that's what we need. We need a secretary of shut your mouth, and that would be a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, people get offended.
Let them get offended. We need it. I mean, I'm telling you, this is the theme that I've been on here for about a week and a half. We need somebody to tell the American people the truth, and the truth is really this. Shut up, get to work, butch up, quit imagining things, get off of the computer, get off of your blog. And yes, we know that you'll think that we're trying to tell you to get off your blog so that you can't tell the truth to the world. Go out and do something constructive, find something to do, get a job, whatever.
Yeah, you keep saying get a job, there are no jobs.
Sure, there are no jobs, yeah. You know what, you keep on saying that, man. Keep on giving them the statistics and give them more reasons not to think there are any jobs. And maybe there aren't any jobs. Invent a job. What's wrong with the country now, right? Just this particular period. What's wrong with this country right now is we're spending way too much time sniveling and whining about stuff. We need to keep our mouth. Let the talk show host do the talking, okay? Let the talk show host do the talking. We'll tweet and we'll sound like idiots. And you can make fun of us if you want, because we should be made fun of, because we do have our heads further up our ass than you do. But we're paid to do this blathering, right? You guys need to get on with it and get the country back on track. Everybody needs to shut up. And these cats that with the bitching about the Martin Luther King Memorial, too bad, you know?
You mean, that's a good point about a Chinese guy. I don't know that Statue of Liberty made in France.
The Statue of Liberty was made in France, exactly. You imagine if they brought that over? Oh, my God. Let's just talk about the Statue of Liberty for a minute. If they'd made the Statue of Liberty today, this jackball, Glopnik, or whatever this guy's, that's not a name, that's a cereal. Glape Glopnik from Kellogg's. No, Blake, whatever the hell.
Glopnik.
Yeah, that's good, bud. Blake Glopnik. If they brought over the Statue of Liberty today and they parked that thing in New York as they did back in the 18th century, or the 19th century, they literally brought it over in pieces. Do you know how they brought over the Statue of Liberty? Uh-oh. They brought it over on a ship. They brought it over in pieces. And they assembled it over here. It's quite an undertaking. It's an amazing undertaking. And in much the same way, I think it's been a wonderful undertaking to build that memorial at Ground Zero following 9/11, the fact that it's going to be ready for the 10th anniversary. I think that's a wonderful thing. But they had the head and the arm with the torch was parked down in the Battery. They had it on the grass or on the ground out there, right?
Yeah.
Then they had like the feet. Everything was all over the damn city. And all made in France. So that would get Blake Glopnik pissed off. Certainly wasn't made of any kind of material that was mined or otherwise produced in North America. It came from France, so that would get Blake Glopnik pissed off. And then maybe he'd get out a tape measure and get all pissed off that the Statue of Liberty is better endowed than him, and it's a woman. And then I'm sure he'd say that the Statue of Liberty is too big. why it dwarfs the ships coming in, why it's bigger than any building in New York. Why, what is that? It's a, you know. So just keep that in mind, my friend. A Chinese artist, huh? The greatest symbol that this country has, the greatest physical symbol, and there's a lot of them. We have Mount Rushmore. We have our Washington Monument. We have the Statue of Liberty, and we have a great many others. But I would say, I would argue, and I'm sure you'd agree, that the single most prevalent and recognizable symbol of this country to anyone is the Statue of Liberty, made in France.
Oh, man. You know, you think about that bad.
No, I don't think it's bad. I think it's great. I think the French and America, the United States and France has always had a great relationship. We got pissed off at them after 9/11 in Iraq. Because they act, the French can be a pain in the ass like you've never seen. The French have got a problem. And let me tell you what the French's problem is. It's this. They fail to recognize where they have failed themselves. And they have failed themselves many times. They failed themselves in World War II. They failed themselves with Napoleon. They have failed as a country, and they cannot face it. And they want to look at America as this hegemonous monster that they used to be our blood brothers. You know, France came over and helped us in the revolution. The French had their own revolution that was patterned after ours. They were inspired by us. And they sent us the Statue of Liberty. They loved us. They admired us. Everything about America. And then they got, then here comes World War II, and here comes De Gaulle, and here comes all their bullcrap.
Yeah, why can't we have an air base there?
Exactly. All of a sudden, we can't have our Air Force base in Bordeaux? Who do you think you are, anyway? De Gaulle told us to get out? So that's fine. But they have been very reluctant. But I think that it's come and it's gone. It goes in waves. I think the French are cool. They're it's a cool country. They're cool people. They are total ass wipes in Paris. I mean, I swear to God, to this day, it bothers me that I didn't clock that cab driver that guy was talking about.
Yeah, that guy wouldn't give you a ride.
That guy cussed me out in French. I know he cussed me out in French. I don't speak any French, but I heard that guy doing that. To this day, I wish I would have just clocked that guy. But other than that, France is fantastic.
You did like Paris a lot. You say you come back from the museum and everything.
I thought Paris is great. It's beautiful. If I spoke French, it'd be fantastic. But here's another thing. This is the other thing. The French insist on French being spoken. They insist on it. And we respect that. You go into the Louvre, which is arguably the world's art gallery. Not just France's. It's the world's art gallery. The greatest pieces in the world hang in the Louvre, or did. And do they have it in English and Spanish and Vietnamese? No, they got it in French. French, baby. And only French, right? And you know what? I respect that. But if we can't do that, we're not allowed to do that. We got to have it all in 15 different languages. Otherwise, we're racist. What the hell is wrong with us? How did we get to this point? How did we get so stupid? How did we get so self-hating? You know, we got an art gallery, the National Art Gallery in Washington, wherever. It's all in English. We don't have it in Spanish. There's nothing like this and that. Oh my God, they'd be screaming and yelling. There'd be lawsuits.
What about Jada Pinkett Smith?
What about Jada Pinkett Smith?
I think she cheated on Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come back. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. Don't forget, Phil Hendry Show merchandise available at philhendryshow.com. Be right back.
Radio for Patriots.
Smith.
Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
He ain't made the grand.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. Jada Pinkett?
What an idiot.
Don't call me an idiot.
Call him an idiot, man. Pinkett.
So, Jada Pinkett Smith are still very much together, the Hollywood power couple said in a joint statement Tuesday. Although we are reluctant to respond to these types of press reports, the rumors circulating about relationship with Waltz, they said. We're still together, our marriage is intact, it ain't too good, but no, they didn't say that. You know the old saying, I don't know if it's an old saying, I saw it in a movie once, so I guess it's an old saying, the rumors are always true? I don't know. The definitive denial comes after In Touch Weekly reported the A-list action hero and his actor's wife had separated. The report, which did not name a source, followed just weeks after the couple's close friends, Mark Antony and... Why did I call him? His name's Mark Antony, isn't it?
Yeah.
I call him Mark Antony as an homage to the late Roman general. Why would I do that?
I think he pronounced it Mark Antony because he wanted to be like that.
Are you kidding me?
I swear to God.
I don't know.
He called himself Mark Antony?
Yeah, I think he did because he thought I was bitching.
Anyway, it comes as a couple's close friends, Mark Antony and Jennifer Lopez, announced their own separation. Pinkett Smith and Antony play love interests on the TNT medical drama Hawthorne, and Pinkett Smith's publicist quickly dispelled online chatter that the co-stars had extended their romance off the set. Everything about the Mark Antony story is completely false, publicist Karen Tenser told the Entertainment Weekly. Will Smith's 18-year-old son from a previous marriage slammed the rumor on Twitter. Trey Smith said, no, they did not split. False information. Smith and Pinkett Smith, but that's Trey Smith. Is that the kid that Will Smith sang about in that song, I'll Spank Your Ass?
Oh, yeah, and that song about, you know, even though your mom and I ain't together no more.
Yeah.
What was the name of that song?
I don't know. Oh, I know. Welcome to Miami.
Welcome to Miami. No, it ain't Welcome to Miami. In any event, Smith and Pinkett Smith have two children together, actor's son Jaden, 13, and budding pop star Willow Smith. The couple met in 1990 when Pinkett Smith auditioned to be her future husband's girlfriend on the Fresh Air of Bel Air, Fresh Prince, on the Fresh Air of Bel Prince. On the Fresh Prince of... I got it. I'm just screwing around. Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Smith, who didn't get the job, eventually wound up waiting tables at Norm's, where Smith went in and got himself a cup of coffee. Smith asked Smith out, and Smith said yes. I'm kidding.
God, man, I was believing that.
No, she didn't get the role, but the couple became friends and eventually married on New Year's Eve, 1997. Way to play that one, baby. I'm kidding. Anyway, Smith, age 42, said in 2008 that divorce was off the table. What I found is divorce just can't be an option, he told Ellen DeGeneres. It's merely that simple, and I think that's the problem with L.A. There are so many options, so a huge part of the success for Jade and I is that we just remove the other option. The superstar spouses have laughed off reports they have an open marriage and freely discuss their active sex life. Let me tell about the chick I went out with last night, he said. Ha ha, I'm only kidding. Be sneaky, your girlfriend's house at a party, the bathroom, a bedroom, Pinkett Smith told Red Book magazine in 2009. Have a fantasy date. Be his secretary. Pull over on the side of the road. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They also admitted a romp in a limousine on the way to the academy. Well, who hasn't? Nothing. They also admitted a romp in a limousine on the way to the Academy Awards in 2010. Will started looking at me in this way that drives me wild, she told Shape magazine. Well, let's just say we missed the red carpet, and I ended up with almost no makeup on and hardly any clothes. But Pinkett Smith, age 39, confessed to Uptown magazine in June that she enjoyed time alone. People think that Will and I don't spend a lot of time together. Too much time, actually, if you ask me. It's always nice to have a little time apart. Sometimes you need that. Aha! So that's... And you know what? That's the...
That's the problem with both marriages.
Is there something wrong with your teeth, man? Both marriages. You said that.
Yeah, I heard that.
I don't know.
Say it again.
That's the problem with both marriages.
You better go to the dentist, man, because you went both.
I did?
Yes, you did. Well, that's too bad, man. I hope that things are good with them. I don't know. I mean, who knows? Can anybody, you know, we talk about Hollywood people not, you know, their marriage is not lasting. Whose marriage lasts anymore? I don't know. And then there are statistics that say over 50% of all men who've been married 40 years, at least 40 years, have cheated on their wives. But that's just a statistic. It could be horse dung. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance, technical direction Dan Northcraft, and our associate producers Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. Don't miss the Phil Hendry Show merchandise shop. Our ball caps will be in there this week. And, of course, all of our legacy CDs and everything else. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. See you later on tonight.
Phil Hendry.